G'day everyone, this is Tom Uren, and today I'm here with another Risky Business sponsor interview with Haroon Mir of Thinks Canary. And Thinks Canary provides super easy to deploy honeypots. And today, Haroon, we were looking at a list that Kevin Mandia put out of the top 7 things to do. And number 3 on his list is build honeypots. And I was talking with the Gruck not long ago, and he was saying that he was super keen on honeypots. People should use them everywhere. And I was just conceptually trying to think what honeypots actually achieve. And my kind of numpty take was that they're just a way of kind of pulling out some really clean signal from this mass of noise that people are getting. Is that the right take?
So it's exactly the right take, but honeypots have been pitched for a really long time, right? So most of us who got into the business like early on got in after reading or hearing about the cuckoo's egg, and honeypots were in the cuckoo's egg, like way back with Cliff Stahl. And so we always knew it was a good idea, but even way back then, it went through this long period of almost being mischaracterized, because for a long time, honeypots were put into this category of almost like hacker anthropology, like put these things down to study attackers and learn what they do and know your enemy and learn the techniques of attackers. And academics love it. So every university, undergrad, master's course involves drop honeypots and draw maps on attacks from everywhere.
Yep.
But most real businesses will very quickly get to a point where they say, look, we don't have time for that. Like, who's got the time to do this study of hackers and what they do? And is it really useful? Like, we know what they do these days. They break in, they want stuff, they expand. And so where we pitch honeypots is that we think, so exactly what you said, they give you a really high quality signal of badness. The way we make Canary, we make it so, A, that it's quick to deploy, but B, in many cases, we opt for what gives you a very clear signal of badness. So for example, if a Canary is made to look like a Windows server, we don't just want to tell you your Windows server was touched on the network. Because anyone in practice who tries that will know that Windows boxes touch each other like dozens of times a minute. And if you told Windows box, tell me every time you touched, you'll get alerts all day. And what's interesting is for quality of signal, if you're trying to figure out whether your network's being attacked, you can actually turn that dial much more granular than people think, because an attacker will touch you, he'll probably scan you, he'll probably read your directory, he'll probably copy off sensitive files. And so you don't have to alert on that first one if he's also going to do step number 6.
Right.
And so lots of time with care, you can turn the dial to the point where you're catching legitimate badness and ignoring accidental touches that happen on the network. And so for us, honeypots, canaries, really show that value if you can get to the point where they're super quick to deploy because nobody's got time to run your fake network. Like, people are struggling to run their own networks. This can't take up their time.
Well, they're too busy looking at false positives.
Yeah, and I think it's a mistake that security vendors have made almost forever, where we overestimate our importance because we do an important thing. Like, because it's like, sure, you don't want to be hacked, therefore you should spend all your time tuning me. When most companies have their day jobs to do, and what they want is for you to just work. And so, like, our whole pitch with Canary is literally, the day you get it, you plug it in, and it's good to go in 30 seconds. Like in year one, our deployment used to be set it up in under 3 minutes, and now we've got it down to just plug this in, and it's good to go.
Okay, so Kevin Mandia, he put honeypots as number 3 on his list.
Right.
And number 1 was mine, institutional knowledge. Now, I liked number 1 because it is kind of the mirror image of what Rob Joyce said when he was head of TIO. At a conference, he said that the way that attackers win is by knowing the network better than the defenders.
Right.
Now, the problem with number one is it sounds like, and I think it is, really a lot of work.
Yep.
And so I kind of thought the advantage of honeypots is you can, in a way, shortcut some of that, figure out what's important. I don't know, sprinkle a few honeypots around the important bits and then really focus your efforts there.
Right.
But you have to have a certain maturity, I'm guessing, to be able to actually do anything.
It's
like even respond.
Yeah, it's a super good question. And the question of prioritization for what a new, like if you take the hypothetical new CISO's walked in, like what should he do in his 100 days? I think will really vary organization by organization, depending on under what sort of fire they're in. I think, like one of the things we say, and of course, everything I say, you've got to consider that I'm a vendor. And so I've got a vested interest. I've got a vested interest in like buy our stuff. But the thing that I often say to help myself sleep at night is we can choose to work on a zillion things and we choose to work on this because we believe in it. And so the stuff that I say, like this is why we do this stuff. And in terms of deploying honeypots and canaries, we've put crazy amounts of engineering effort. Like at this point, years and years of engineering time into making it dead simple to deploy, because we believe that if we can give you super low false positives, and we've got customers with hundreds of canaries who get 4 alerts a year, which is like the sweet spot that we're going for. And if we can make it so that you deploy them in 30 seconds, then really what we're saying is you've got all these big plans. You've got an IAM project, you've got a DLP project, you've got an insider information project. Do all of those. But while you're doing those and the time it took to have this conversation, deploy 20 canaries. Because if they give you back nothing, you're fine. And if they give you back something, they're probably going to change the direction of your other projects.
Right.
And we put in the engineering work to make sure we can keep that promise. Like if someone plugs us in and we start spewing false positives, now we've given the company more work to do. Now they've got to decide other projects versus us, and they won't want us. If they get us and take too long to deploy, again, we've failed. And so we've really got to keep that promise that says, get us now, put us in 10 minutes, which is why we've got some customers who, like, what they'll do is they'll make an acquisition. And there's going to be tons of security work they're going to have to do, compliance, checking, integration, all of that. But on day one, you can buy 5 canaries and put it on that customer network and just forget about it.
Yeah, right. And just use it as trying to get the lay of the land, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly right. And Rob Joyce's take, which I loved, like when we were pen testing, our goal used to literally be that we should know the customer network better than the customers do. And it's easy because you're seeing the network with fresh eyes. You go in. You tell the customer what their network really is, not what they think they are. And what's interesting even in that step is it's why canaries shine. Because an attacker who lands on your network has to go through this phase of figuring out your network because right. They don't know it. And during that time, they're going to bump into this Windows box with an open file share with interesting files, and they've got to look at it. And when they do, you find out about their presence in week 1 instead of in week 52 on CNN.
Now, how come the actual market for honeypots doesn't seem to have grown hugely? You were telling me that the number of vendors has actually shrunk considerably.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Honeypots like periodically pop up and die, like in the early 2000s. There were offerings from Symantec, there was Mantrap, and it always has this promise and traditionally has always failed to deliver commercially. And when we started Canary, deception was the big play. Like there were like 6 vendors all doing deception. And to date, most of them have either closed shop or pivoted out into something else.
So now the distinction between deception and... What is the distinction?
Yeah, spot on. So what you'll notice, because of the history of honeypots, none of the new vendors when we started were happy to use the word honeypot because all of them didn't want to be saddled with this brand of a technology that always promises and fails to deliver. And so all of them went out of their way to say, honeypots didn't work, but what you need is deception. And so there was a little bit of marketing hype in it. You throw in a Sun Tzu quote, you throw in a picture of like ghost army from World War II and fake tanks. And we, on the other hand, like, we don't have deception anywhere on our site. Like, our pitch has always been, like, Canadia are really easy to deploy honeypots because we think that the idea works and it's simple. To the bigger thing, most of the people who went for deception went for marketing buzzwordy Gartner quadrant type stuff. And their pitch was that honeypots didn't work. What you need is entire deception stories and deception teams and all of that stuff. And it ties into what I said earlier about security technology that is a little self-centered. Like, it would work if you make this technology the center of your universe, but nobody's going to do that. And to that end, we did exactly the opposite. Like, we aimed Canary as, this is simple, drop it and forget about it. Like, you've got a console, but we don't care if you never use it. Like, send your stuff to a seam, like, send your stuff to Slack. Like, we don't care. Like, drop us and we'll get out of your way till it matters. And I think most of the people who went for deception end up telling a good story, but creating more work than they're worth. And I think there's a handful of organizations that can have a deception team that plays spy versus spy with your enemy. And we see them here, let's set up a fake network for them there. For everyone else, what they need is just knowing about the attack early enough so that they can do something about it.
Right. Just drop it and forget about it. I actually have a friend who did exactly that. He got some, just for his home network, got some tokens, dropped them, and he literally did forget about them. And so when one of them triggered, he had no idea where it was.
Yeah. We get that periodically. I must say, for your friend and for future listeners, like the joy of tokens like that is, like, when you create a token, you get to attach a little memo to it. And that's the whole joy, is that memo should be self-identifying. Like the point should be that it says, this is the token I left in mom's Dropbox. Then you forget about
self.
It. Yeah, exactly. It's the note to self. And interestingly, in organizations, like, part of our pitch is, like, you get some Canary tokens, right, that are really crazy high value signals. Like, you take, like, if we give you a fake AWS credential, and so you take these credentials and you sprinkle them on every machine that you've got, right? And when you're having your SolarWinds moment, two things kick in, right? One is, an attacker lands on this staging server, on the server where they can build code. That sort of attacker, who now sees an API key for your AWS environment or for your GCP environment, absolutely can't resist testing it. Because maybe on the other side of that is your entire AWS infrastructure.
Yep.
And so they've got to test it. And when they do, you get this message that's so crisp that tells you, listen, the key that was only left on CodeSign Server 32 just got used. Like, it's crisp, it's clear, and again, it's super quick to deploy. And that's our whole pitch.
Yep, so forget about it, but not too much.
Right.
Arun Mira of ThinkScanary, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Tom. It was great.